Each one of us has hoped for something. We've hoped for something deeply, and it did not turn out the way we wanted it to. For some of us, it was the job that we had our hearts set upon, which was not offered to us. For some, a relationship that we hoped would heal and instead flew apart. For some, an opportunity we'd waited for our entire lives never materialized. We all hope. We are a people of hope. Sometimes our hopes are buried very deep within until they are kindled by some event or some reminder of what is truly important to us. And as people of faith, our hopes often extend beyond our own personal aspirations. We as a people find ourselves hoping for peace, for an end to violence, for the inhabitants of the world to have enough shelter, food, and clean water. Yes, we hope. We were designed to hope. But I will tell you this, hope can be hard. It can be so hard, in fact, that at times we're prone to find ourselves sinking in doubt, cynicism, and even despair. This past Thursday, the U.S. was notified that a 31-year-old reporter working for the Wall Street Journal, Evan Kershkovich, was being held by Russia and accused of espionage. That's spying. According to the New York Times, as well as other sources, trials of espionage in Russia can take months and months to proceed, and they're done in secret. If convicted, Mr. Gershkovich could spend as long as 20 years in a Russian prison. Acquittals, by the way, are extremely rare. And so we hope. Back in 1965, a Navy fighter plane was piloted by a man named James Stockdale. And Stockdale's plane was shot down over the skies of North Vietnam. Stockdale parachuted down. He was captured, beaten, and became a prisoner of war for the next 7.5 years. Stockdale spent those years at a particularly harsh prison called Hoa Lo. You may remember that the late Arizona Senator John McCain also spent time in the Hoa Lo prison. They referred to it as the Hanoi Hilton. And Stockdale and some of the prisoners who were with him at Hoa Lo were known for resisting their captors, and they were kept in a special facility near the prison in individual cells, and these cells measured 3 by 9 feet. There was a single light bulb that hung from the ceiling, and it was lit round the clock. Torture was routine. And as author Jim Collins writes, Stockdale lived out the war without any prisoner rights. No set release date, no certainty as to whether he would even survive to see his family again. As a prisoner of war, James Stockdale was well aware that the North Vietnamese would want to give the impression that they were treating their prisoners well in a humane way, when in fact they were not. So when Stockdale learned that the North Vietnamese were going to videotape him looking like a well-kept prisoner, Stockdale deliberately beat himself with a stool and then cut himself with a razor to purposely disfigure himself. While in prison, James Stockdale created a sophisticated secret code that involved a series of tapping sounds that his fellow prisoners could hear and translate. It's the way they communicated with one another. Stockdale also created a system that would help his fellow prisoners deal with torture, instructing them on what to say and when to say it during the ordeal of torture. When Stockdale finally arrived home in February of 1973, he could not stand upright. He could barely walk. He became the first 3-star Navy officer in the U.S. history to have received Naval Aviator Wings and a Congressional Medal of Honor. When asked about how he was able to survive, Stockdale replied, "I never lost faith in the end of the story." Author Jim Collins then went on to ask Collins, "Who didn't make it out?" Stockdale replied, "The optimists." Collins was utterly confused by Stockdale's response. And then Stockdale went on and elaborated, "The optimists. Oh, they were the ones who said, 'We'll be out by Christmas.' And Christmas would come, and Christmas would go. And then they'd say, 'We'll be out by Easter.' And Easter would come, and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving, and then it would be Christmas again. And they died of a broken heart." Stockdale then took a few more steps with author Jim Collins, and after a long pause, said to Collins, "This is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your reality, whatever they might be." When I think of the day Jesus rode a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, the city that represented the center of religious power for Jews everywhere, I cannot help but think of how Jesus must have felt. And what about those who gathered around Jesus that day? Those who had lined the streets, waving their palms, their joyous rumble, complete with shouts of joy, bursting with expectation, this sense of celebration, as if everything they had hoped for would now suddenly unfold. They were, as James Stockdale might say, the optimists. What eventually unfolded in Jerusalem, and with Jesus in particular, was certainly not what most people had in mind. Instead of Jesus sparking a Jewish nationalistic overthrow of Jerusalem in order that the Jews might finally shed themselves of their Roman oppressors, Jesus had come to Jerusalem to engage his own religious authorities regarding their corruption. Viewed by religious authorities as an off-the-wall radical and by political authorities as a potential threat to peace and tranquility in the region, Jesus soon became a convenient enemy to the status quo. Jesus himself seemed to realize long before he entered the city of Jerusalem that this journey would somehow seal his fate. So why did Jesus go? He never lost faith in the end of the story. He might have had moments when he wavered. He might have had his moments of doubt and agony. He might have even found himself alone and abandoned. But somehow Jesus never lost faith in who he was or in the God who held him. Even if Jesus knew or sensed the brutal facts, the brutal realities that surrounded him, the dangers and perils associated with his entering Jerusalem, he went anyway. He never lost faith in the end of the story. Nothing would ever separate him from God. For so many of us, we hope for certain outcomes in life. And sometimes our hopes do not materialize in the way we had envisioned. And when they don't materialize in the way we think they should, we can feel abandoned. We can feel betrayed. We can even feel that God is punishing us. And yet, one of the deepest aspects of faith is our coming to trust God, even when our hopes have been dashed. I'm here today to tell you that faith is risky. Faith is risky. But never, never lose faith in the end of the story. And that is good news. Amen.